welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
You deserve the glory.
We love you, Jesus.
I think I'm going to need a battery up here. This one's toast. Just throw me one. I can catch it. Praise God. Don't have any batteries. Is this just got one set that has to recharge? It's red. It's probably going to die. I've been in services where squirrels got into the transformer. Praise God. We're in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm still a little bit hot up here in the mic. I'm pretty hot anyway. I don't know why I thought I'd wear a coat. When it first gets up warm in the late winter, early spring, whatever you want to call this season, that short period of time between winter and summer, when it's 70 degrees, I melt. Praise God, praise God. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 4. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. It seemed like the theme tonight was He is worthy. And there couldn't have been a better choice of songs. Whenever we look at the book of Hebrews, I've shared this with you before. And it makes it so much better if you'll look at it through this lens. Because if you look at Hebrews chapter 6 through any other lens, you could get very discouraged. The lens that these people had just been through so much difficulty, it had been one thing after another. And so the writer is encouraging them, telling them all about Jesus, telling them all about His worth, His worthiness. And say, everything that you're going through, don't worry about it. God's got this. It's going to be worth it all. Even if we never see that worth in this life. And there's a very real possibility that could happen. I never thought I'd say it in this country. I never even dreamed it possible that we would be where we're at in this nation. I mean, it's beat anything I've ever... You don't have to look far. Venezuela was a powerful nation 40 years ago, and now they have crumbled to nothing. And yet we are determined to take the same path. It makes no sense whatsoever to me. And it does in a sense because the people in power profit wildly. It's only the people that suffer. And when people are power hungry, they don't care what the people are going through. So I guess it makes perfect sense. And the Hebrews were dealing with much of the same thing, even a step higher, because they were dealing with absolute totalitarianism. I mean, you couldn't... In the days of the Roman Empire, you couldn't say Jesus is king because in the Roman Empire, there's only one king, and that's Caesar. That's why the Romans killed so many Christians. And what's insane is I can see the same thing unfolding right before my eyes. I thought it might happen someday, but I didn't think I'd be alive to see it. I thought the transition would be so slow. But in the last 5 years, I'm 59 years old. I've never seen anything like I'm seeing today. It's just absolutely insanity. And so as much as this book is to the Hebrews, her dealing with the imperialist Romans who refuse to acknowledge any God other than Caesar. He's the ultimate authority. His word prevails over all. The Senate, you know, they always talk about the Senate had some control over Rome. Well, as long as Caesar allowed it. If you know the history of Rome, you know it was fraught with peril and assassinations, and it was really not a fun time to be alive. Could that come to America? What are you going to do if they take your home, they take your cars, they take your money and demand that you renounce Jesus? What if they're torturing your grandchildren and your children in front of your face? Because it's happened untold tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of times on this planet. For one religion and one religion alone, there have been more Christians murdered than any other religion. You can combine all the other religions in the world. Now, I understand that there have been wars fought in the name of Christ that were bogus. I totally get that. When Jesus went to the cross, he knew that there were going to be atrocities committed in his name. You understand that in many of the ovens during the genocide of the Jews in World War II, they had signs above the ovens that said, "Jesus Christ did this to you." Did you know that? It's the truth. But Jesus had nothing to do with that. The lunatics of the Nazis had everything to do with that. So what are you going to do if communism takes root, takes hold, and they have to root out Christianity because in communism there can be no God that is above the government? Because the government must rule from the cradle to the grave. That's the only way communism works. We will take care of you from the time you're born to the time you die. You'll not have to worry about anything. You can go to the factories and you can sit and drink coffee and smoke cigarettes all day and you'll make the same amount of money as the people that work. You think I'm lying to you, but I'm not. It's the truth. I've talked to people in former communist countries face to face. I've visited with them about these very issues. And they're the least motivated people you'll ever meet in your life. They have no motivation to do anything because there's no reward at the end of their effort. Now, capitalism may not be perfect, but it has lifted more people out of poverty than any other form of economics in the history of the world. They don't teach civics in school anymore, so we have to talk about it from the pulpit. So what are you going to do if they come and tell you you must renounce Christ? Or you're going to lose everything. We'll take your car. We'll take your home. We'll take your children. We'll take all of your money, all of your possessions, because that is exactly what happened to these people right here. And the writer is telling them, hang on. It will be worth it. It's maybe not a popular message, but it's a very important message. Because if this Bible is true, if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I only say that for the sake of argument, I'm completely convinced. I wouldn't be if I didn't think God was real. You've never seen such a hellion as I can be. It is the fear of the Lord that has me right here. If there was no fear of God in me, the Bible tells me not to even talk about those things. But I'd be doing all of them. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if they're torturing your daughters in front of your face? Say, we will stop if you will renounce Christ. Because that's what happened to these people. I never thought we'd even have to, I've never talked that much about these kind of things to this degree because I didn't think it possible it happened in this country. But I can see the net closing in. You know, the only thing that makes me think this nation may be different than any other that these kinds of things have happened to is every other nation that this has ever happened to was unarmed. America is far from that. That may be the only thing that keeps this from happening. So if they come to take your guns, I say don't let them. What did one of my friends say the other day? Make sure your bullets are placed well. Say, you shouldn't talk like that from the pulpit. Well, before the first revolution, that's how preachers were talking. It's the truth. You understand, during the first revolution, that preachers took up arms and fought with the Revolutionary Army? It's the truth. The black-robed regiment. True story. Something worth fighting for. Something worth dying for. Aren't you glad they did? I mean, it has been, how long is this? 250 years, 240 years. It's been a good run. It's not always been easy. Been many, many challenges. Many times that it didn't look like it was going to work out. But here we are at the crossroads again. And we've got to ask ourselves, what are we going to do? Now, our allegiance cannot be to America. You heard Glenn talk about that this last weekend. Our allegiance must be to Christ alone. I mean, Christ has to be the center of our focus. And if He tells us to lay down our arms and lay down our arms, we must. Yeah. You don't have an opinion in the matter. Not if you belong to Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become brand new. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 2. God demonstrates Himself to us. In verse 4, we got through three verses last time. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. Now we haven't saw what we haven't seen what we haven't seen what they saw yet. But we've seen some things. We've seen God prove to us that we're on the right track by signs and wonders. Jesus is here and he's answered our cries again and again. We've seen cancer healed. We've seen heart disease healed. We've seen COVID healed. We've seen God raise up the brain dead, the people that the doctors, I've seen it twice. The doctor said there's no brain activity. They're brain dead. If they ever wake up, they'll be vegetables the rest of their life. I've seen this twice. We prayed, God woke them up, and they got saved. We've seen babies survive what doctors said they would not. We've seen the lost get saved. We've seen the bound set free. We have not seen all we want to see, but you and I have seen some things. We saw Josh get healed last year and he won a state championship, and then he won another one this year. All the glory to God. We've seen God stop the violence of cancer and tumors. My grandson Levi has been undergoing treatment, and the doctors hoped, all they hoped for was to stop the growth. The tumor was growing and they just wanted to kill it. He's got a tumor in his brain. It's already made him blind in one eye, and they just wanted it to stop so he wouldn't be blind in both eyes. That was the goal. We got a text just a few days ago. The doctors are amazed. The tumor has begun to shrink. Hallelujah. Is there room for more? Can you hold any more of what God wants to do? I certainly can. I want to see more. I want to see some adjustments. God is big enough to carry us to the place of his power and majesty, that we too will see him manifest his goodness to us through signs and wonders and miracles. Who could use a miracle in your life? If you could use a miracle, just stand up right now. I want you to lift your hands to heaven. I want you to thank God for the miracle like it's already happened. We give you praise, God. Like it's already happened, Lord. We give you glory, God. That's the God that you are. You're the God of the miraculous. You're the God of power. You're the God of demonstration. We rejoice in you tonight, God. We magnify you tonight, God. We thank you for the moving of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, God, that you have chosen this place to demonstrate your power. We give you glory, God, for what you're doing, what you've already done, what you're going to do, and we praise you like it's a finished thing. Hallelujah to your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I believe here's the key to see more miracles than you've ever dreamed possible. In the book of Mark, chapter 11, the word of God says in verse 22, "So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," not, you know, a lot of people try to twist this around and say, well, God will give you what you need. That's not what it says. It says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I'm telling you, if you want to see a move of God, believe to see a move of God. When you pray for a move of God, when you pray for signs, wonders, and miracles, believe it. God has promised that he would. And I've heard so many people twist this around and tone it down and water it down. And it just frustrates me to no end. I'm like, if God didn't want it in there, he shouldn't have wrote it. If he didn't mean it, he shouldn't have written it. God says, if you'll believe, he will move. So believe him. Just believe him. Get off the stupid doubt wagon and believe God. See, one criticism of the Pentecostal movement is that we're just too much in the miracles. Well, you know what? If we never needed a miracle, I can see why we wouldn't necessarily be into them. But we live in a world where sin, sickness, and demons are real. And on occasion, we need the miraculous power of God to overcome obstacles. And I'm telling you, I would contend it is better to believe for miracles and see some than it is to believe for nothing and get it all. And it behooves us to remain faithful to Christ through the endurance of trials. God is faithful. And I've heard people say, well, if God's behind the trial, then you can't pray. You're getting yourself out of the will of God. How stupid is that? If God allows a trial into your life, he's testing your faith. He wants to see if you will believe. He wants to see if you will pray. He wants to see if you will press. He wants to see if you will believe. God sees our suffering and we will be rewarded for it. We can rest assured every tear we cry will be rewarded. Everyone. Now, that's not to suffer needlessly. There's sometimes we put ourselves in bad situations. What's that old saying? Some people are going through really hard times, and the reason they're there is because of stupid decisions. I've made plenty of those. Can't blame anyone but myself then. But sometimes my decisions have nothing to do with anything. It's just hard times. We all deal with them. We all go through them. Even in the best of times, there are hard times. These people are going through some really hard times. And in the midst of that, we've got to believe God and stay faithful to God, because we will be rewarded. Whether we see it now or on the other side, we can rest assured God is faithful. We've got to stop looking at suffering as something that never yields benefit and know deep within ourselves that God never allows a single tear to go unrewarded. I mean, we got to get to where we know that. We've got to stop thinking that God has forsaken us, that he's left us, that he's abandoned us, that God, don't you even know? He knows exactly what you're going through. And if he's allowing it to continue, just know there's great reward on the other side. And look at verse 5. I mean, look at part of what we're going through. Look at where we're going. Verse 5 begins to open the curtain and let us see on the other side where we're headed. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, a lot of people just write this off as God is speaking by the Holy Spirit, saying this is Jesus. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't refer to Jesus, but it refers to all of us. I can prove it. In Psalm 8, we'll go there in just a little bit. I'll take you to the verses that this being quoted right here. This is not a New Testament new thought. This was written in the 8th Psalm, word for word. This is a direct quotation out of the Old Testament for those of you who do not believe the Old Testament has any truth in it today. It does. It is the Word of God. Praise God. I can't quote it exactly, but I have a little deal written down on my desk that says, God will pass over 1 million people to get to you if you'll believe. Smith Wigglesworth said that. He was a man who knew what it was to have God invade his life. And I'm telling you, there is reward. God is talking about putting the world to come where we're all headed. That's the world to come that he's talking about putting us in charge of. Paul said it in his writings. He said, don't you know that we will judge angels? He's got to get us ready. We don't just step into judging angels. We don't just arrive in heaven and just... I'm here. Not for long with that attitude. Jesus was a humble and lowly and meek servant. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He taught us how to lead by serving. And that'll be our honor for all eternity. We will continue to serve. And we will rule and reign with a rod of iron. Forever. The Revelation says we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Think about it. What an incredible statement. Jesus has put all things in subjection under our feet. Now you need to stop believing the lies that the sin that so easily besets you cannot be broken off your life. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus has set us free, and that is the truth. Whom the Son sets free is therefore free indeed. God has put the powers of this world under your feet. You don't have to take authority, you have authority. I want us to read that 8th Psalm so you can see. I mean, let's look at it in context. Let's look at what's really being said here. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. This is verse 1 of Psalm 8. Who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. All the sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, that passed through the waters of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. God is talking about us. All the beasts of the earth are under our dominion now. And in the age to come, he's going to put all things under our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know people struggle that day. They're like, oh, no, I can't do that. Well, you're not. God's going to do it. It's kind of like all the people that, you know, they look at me and they're like, how in the world? I mean, there is no way he should not be a pastor of a church. And they go through the list of all the things that are wrong with me. And there are many. And I don't even try to hide them. And they're like, well, how can God do anything? And you just hit the nail on the head. It's God that's doing it. If it were up to me to lead this church and to see all the things that is done through a small congregation, it's astonishing if you ever get the time to take the time and just look at all the numbers and all the things that take place out of this small community of believers, you would be shocked. It is insane. But God just keeps doing it year after year after year after year. And he's not tore up because of all the things that are wrong with me. He's patiently producing in me his will. He is perfecting me after his image. He is working on me and he's not going to stop until he's finished. I believe that. Now, do you believe that for yourself? We need to walk in our God-given authority. When we understand who we are in him, we will never fear or be intimidated again. There is nothing that can even compare to our God. And we are in him and he is in us. It says in the Hebrews, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not to be put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. He's still talking about man. How do I know? Because then he said, but we see Jesus. There's the delineation right there. There's the separation right there. He was talking about man. We don't see all things under him. It's not yet, but we see Jesus. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Here we go. This is the key. This is what unlocks the door. This is what catapults us into this place of authority and leadership. This is what transforms us from children of darkness into children of light. We will never be equal to Jesus. That is not what I'm saying. So I hope you know that, but we will reign with him. We do not see all things under our authority now. Corruption is everywhere. If I could, I would have already taken some authority over some things in this nation. But I got great news for you. There is a day coming when righteousness will rule and reign. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. That's what it says. That's what he's saying for all the chapters of Hebrews. That's the word. If you will endure, you will reign with him. But he also told him, you know, his soul has no pleasure in those who draw back. And you know what they're drawing back to? They're Jewish people. I'm going to say this over and over again because this is the key. Because a lot of people think when they stumble or fall, that's what he's talking about there, but it's not. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about people that forsake Christ and go back to Judaism. That's what he's talking about. The people that gave Paul problems were people that practiced Judaism. Because Paul preached constantly. You don't have to get circumcised to get saved. And everybody ought to go, praise the Lord. Women are going, well, ain't no big deal to me. I guess it wouldn't be. But if you're a 40-year-old man, it is a big deal. I can tell you stories. Not personal, secondhand information. Bad deal. Real bad deal. The doctor told him, says, son, it's going to be bad. Oh, doc, it was bad. Yeah. Paul said, not necessary. It's not about the cutting away of the flesh. It's about a renewed heart after Jesus Christ. And these people in this book are throwing aside Christ and taking up the letter of the law. And that's why you have such harsh warnings all through it. Hebrews 6, it is such a strong warning. If you read it, it says it is impossible to renew them to repentance, to those who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who have known the goodness of the Holy Ghost. To bring them back. And what he's saying is, if you've had this experience in Christ and you forsake that and you go back to Judaism, there's no sacrifice for your sin. Which there's not. Because there's only one name. In heaven and in the earth and under the earth, by which men can be saved. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. He's it. I say, well, Moses was a great guy. I'm sure he was. I've never met him. But Jesus is greater. I have met him. And I ain't never been the same. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, it says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end. There it is again. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. To him I will give power over the nations. I didn't write this stuff. And sometimes when you tell people these things, they're like, oh no, there's no way. God's not going to put us in charge. Apparently when he finishes with you, he is. You may not be fit today, but when he's through, you will be. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. See, it is clear as overcomers, we will rule and reign with Christ forever. Hallelujah. That's going to be worth it all. All the hardship, all the trouble, no matter how bad it gets. And I hope it doesn't get bad. You understand, I don't want any... I certainly do not want civil war. I know how bad that is. I've watched these other nations. Well, there's nations all over the world that we have invaded as a nation, and they are destroyed. I wonder what we have to reap for that, because it was not always called for. We have waged many unrighteous wars, and I do not hold the young men that fought or young women that fought accountable in any way. I will praise you and shake your hand and thank you for your service. I don't care where they send you. I will always back you. I'll always pray for you. I'll cover you. I will not protest against you. I ain't promising I won't protest against the government. I got no problem with our soldiers. Yeah, the CIA, the overthrown governments all over the globe. They've started more wars than Hitler. That's the truth. We are not the weak and beggarly elements of this world. We are sons and daughters of the King. We're not to be arrogant or unloving. Quite the opposite. We are to be selfless servants. Jesus showed us how to rule. But don't you ever think that He has ever forgotten who He is. See, He knew He could call 12 legions of angels in any moment. But He loved humanity too much to do a thing. I'll read this verse, two verses, and I'll shut up. For it was fitting for Him, and this is talking about Jesus, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, that's us, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, Jesus had to be perfected through sufferings, but not me and you. Do you even see how ludicrous that is to such a statement? If Jesus had to be perfected through suffering, there's a slight chance that you and I this is my favorite verse of this whole thing. For both He who sanctifies, that's the one who's setting us apart, and those who are being sanctified, that's us, are all one. Hallelujah. That's just some crazy stuff. But you just gotta keep it in your head. Why is He telling them all these things? It's because they're about to walk away. They're about to step away from Christ and once again take hold of the weak and beggarly elements of this world. There's no power in that to save. There's no power in that to sacrifice for forgiveness of sin. And so He's going on and on and on about who we are in Him and how great it's going to be and how great our Savior is. And not only is He great, but He has made us one with Him. And He's promised to share His glory with us. And people, they really get upset when you say that. But it's that we are His reflection. It will be as the moon reflecting the sun. When God said He'll not share His glory with another, He's saying, I will never give anybody credit for what I do. That's what God's talking about. But Jesus does say, the same glory that the Father gave Him, He has given us. We're His reflection. Glenn preached it this weekend. Is the mark of Christ in your life? Yeah. I know it's a weeknight. I'm going to tell you, when I came here tonight, I was so exhausted. But about halfway through worship, man, it's good. I could go on and on, but I don't know if you've recovered as well as I have. Because I was tired when I got here. I haven't slept in two nights. I've slept a little, but I haven't slept much. So I know what it is to be tired. And so I don't want to exhaust you. But I do want to encourage you. Does anyone know what the word is when you're past tired? It's T-A-R-D, tard. When you hit tard, you're there. Mike's been talking to me the whole sermon. I've just been ignoring him. Because he's not everything he's saying is nice. Am I giving Piper a reprieve tonight? Is that what's happening? Okay. All right. Well, keep it coming. I'll do anything for Piper. Hallelujah. Well, if you want prayer tonight, if you're tired in your journey, I will pray for you tonight. There is a refreshing in God. If you're discouraged and you just feel like giving up, we will pray with you tonight. Because it's a reality. That's what this whole book of Hebrews is about. These people are discouraged and they feel like giving up. And I believe that's going to be one of our greatest tasks in the coming days is helping people to continue to walk out their salvation. I believe it's going to be very important. Now, hopefully God will awaken the nation and we will all be so on fire for Jesus that nobody will ever have to preach a sermon like this ever again. And I'll be fine with that if it happens. To me, that's the only thing that will change the course of the nation. But if you need prayer tonight as the music begins to play, just come. If you want to pray tonight, just come. I'll stay here as late as you need me here.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.